You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Friday night, Golden One Center in downtown. It's the biggest NBA game in Sacramento in over 12 years as the ninth place Bubble Boy Kings battle the eighth seed Los Angeles Clippers. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday for an in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with players, coaches, all the local and national experts. This is the place for you. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage if you call yourself a Kings fan. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And there is a buzz in this KHDK studio today. There's a buzz all over Sacramento. As like I said, tonight's game, Kings and Clippers, it's not a win and you're in scenario, but it is the biggest game that the Kings have played in Sacramento in over 12 years. And that is maybe a little dramatic, but not ultimately dramatic. This game is huge. And in my opinion, even though mathematically there would still be a chance, if the Kings lose to the Clippers tonight, go 0-4 to the Clippers over the course of this season, and then ultimately fall three games behind them in that eighth seed with the Lakers and Timberwolves still nipping at the Kings' heels in 10th and 11th, a loss tonight to the Clippers may doom the Kings and may cost them their chance to end this playoff drought. We have so much to talk about, so much to get to here in this Friday edition of the Locked On Kings podcast, and I'm going to need you to be a part of it as much as you can be. You can reach me at any time on Twitter at Matt George KHDK. You can also reach me via email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. If you're coming to the game, if you're watching from home, listening on the radio, it doesn't matter. Let me know, what are you fired up about with this game? How excited are you to watch this game? Are you going to a bar to watch it? Are you getting together with friends? Are you buying a ticket? They're expensive tickets tonight. It's expected to be a packed house inside the Golden One Center. What are you doing? Where are you going to be? And what is it about this game that has you so fired up and so excited? I can't believe it is March already, believe it or not. We are already 3 months, or well, two full months. We're starting our third month here of 2019. March, April, and then playoff time. So much to look forward to in these final 2 months of the season. Before we dive into anything, I want to let you know that the Locked On Podcast Network, which we are a part of, has been growing every single day, every single week, every single month. The numbers are astounding, and we all over this network are so thankful for that. And one of the biggest areas where we've been growing is listening in the car while you are on your commute. I know many of you do that for Locked On Kings, but if you don't, it's an excellent opportunity. Just tell your smart device, hey, listen to Locked On Kings podcast, or listen to Locked On NBA podcast while you're in the car. We get those listens. We get those numbers. It helps us out, and then it allows us to bring even more coverage to you, which is what it is all about. Thank you to all the loyal listeners of Locked On Kings from day one with Jason Ross all the way to today. If you're brand new, welcome in. I hope you call this your home for Kings coverage and Kings talk. The numbers have been astounding, really, all this season. We've been growing exponentially. Thousands of you listened to the Locked On Kings podcast last month. Over 200,000 of you listened to the Locked On Kings podcast over last year, and we're looking to continue to grow on that. But enough bragging, enough about the podcast. Enough about me. Let's talk what really matters. Kings and Clippers tonight. Also, in a little bit, I'm going to be playing audio for you from head coach Dave Yeager. He appeared on KHDK's morning show, The Drive, this morning. Had a lot of great things to say. I pulled some clips out of it, stuff that I wanted to share with you. So be sure to stay tuned for that after we break down and discuss this Kings and Clippers game tonight. Before we get to that, though, I have to discuss the Marvin Bagley injury. Remember, yesterday's podcast, it was a little bit doom and gloom because I recorded it before the news came out. Now, I know many of you might have listened to the podcast after the news came out, which made it seem kind of weird, kind of scary, because remember, Bagley was carried off the floor by his teammates and didn't look like he was able to put any weight on his knee. And anytime there's contact with a leg or with a knee around ACL, MCL, anything like that, and you're not able to move on your own power, we're almost programmed to assume the worst. What happened with DeMarcus Cousins last year with the Pelicans, what happened to Rudy Gay with the Sacramento Kings three seasons ago, we're programmed a little bit to assume the worst. And thankfully, the MRI revealed what the initial diagnosis, or confirmed, I should say, the initial diagnosis that Marvin Bagley has a sprained left knee. He will be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. It's still a bummer that he is out, that he will not be playing in this game here tonight, because I guarantee you the Kings could definitely use him tonight against the Clippers, and he's going to have some big shoes to fill, or the Kings are going to be trying to fill his shoes, and he's been providing a lot of scoring, a lot of rebounding, a lot of defense. He's been fantastic for the Kings over the last couple of months, and one of the major reasons why they are in this playoff race to begin with. So it's going to be difficult to make up for his production, but the fact that he's only out 1 to 2 weeks instead of for the remainder of the season and potentially for playoffs, that is a big deal. So I tweeted this out yesterday, again, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, if you want to follow me. Here are the six games over the next 2 weeks that he could miss. Tonight's game against the Clippers, then next week, the Knicks and Celtics at home, and then they go on the road for three at Knicks, at Wizards, at Celtics. Those are the six games that are happening over the next 2 weeks, which Bagley is almost guaranteed to miss. He will be reevaluated either during that time or by the end of that six-game stretch, and hopefully he's able to come back, because like I said, the Kings certainly could use him. Again, Kings Clippers tonight inside the G1C. Let me know where you're going to be, if you're going to be in the arena, at a bar. Regardless, I would love to hear from you. Let's get a rundown of the standings before we dive into this game, though, specifically. Warriors, of course, number one in the West, Nuggets number two, Thunder three, Blazers four, Rockets five, Jazz six, and here's where it gets interesting. Spurs and Clippers are tied for 7 and 8, two full games ahead of the Kings in ninth. The Kings are one full game ahead of the Lakers in 10th, and the Lakers are 2.5 games ahead, or rather 1.5 games ahead of the Minnesota Timberwolves in 11th. The Timberwolves are finding their window closing ever tighter, but the fact that they beat the Kings recently and they do have enough talent in Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, to potentially make some noise, so the final chapter's not written on their season yet, but the Kings have to be very wary of the fact that the Lakers are so close behind, and with being two games behind the Clippers and the Spurs, you need to win this game here tonight to make up that ground. The Kings also have one more meeting with the San Antonio Spurs. That's a road game happening later on this month. That'll be a big game as well. We'll see how the standings shake up when they get to that point. But you want to handle your business early, and tonight is a handle your business kind of night. Kings have played the Clippers three times already this season. They're 0-3 in all those games. Kings and Clippers have been a bad matchup for the Kings consistently throughout this season, and it's multi-layered. However, remember, the Clippers team they're taking on tonight is very different from the Clippers team that has beaten them three times, because they traded away Tobias Harris, they've traded away Avery Bradley, they no longer have Marcin Gortat. They're not as good of a team talent-wise as they were. However, they're still a scrappy team coached by Doc Rivers. But anyway, let's run through these three games so far that the Kings have played. Take a look at some of the numbers, some of the consistencies, because there are still some players, one in particular, that is on this Clippers team that has absolutely abused the Kings over their first three meetings. Game one was in Sacramento. Remember, this is when the Clippers were the number one seed in the Western Conference, and this was the NBA on TNT national broadcast game, which came right after the news that Brandon Williams and members of the front office wanted head coach Dave Joerger fired, or wanted to move on from head coach Dave Joerger. So there's a lot of drama surrounding this game, and the Kings fell to the Clippers 133-121. Tobias Harris led the Clippers in scoring with 28 points. He is no longer there. Montrezl Harrell off the bench, 24 points and 6 rebounds on 8 of 10 shooting in 27 minutes. He absolutely feasted on the Kings, who had no answer for him. Gallinari also had 16 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander abused De'Aaron Fox. He was a plus 20 for the game. 17 points, 4 assists, and a couple of steals. Also a couple of blocks. He did a fantastic job against De'Aaron. And the Clippers shot 55% from the field. Now, one of the good areas in this game was the fact that the Kings actually out-rebounded the Clippers, which they haven't done to too many teams so far this season. They out-rebounded the Clippers 48-38 in this game, but that wasn't enough. The Kings had a dreadful shooting performance from three-point range, 7 of 24, just 29%, and they are 0-1 to the Clippers after this meeting. Then you move on to meeting number two in Los Angeles. The Clippers defeat the Kings 127-118 thanks to a very good start for the Clippers. They put up 39 points on the Kings in the first quarter. Kings cannot allow teams like the Clippers, good teams really, to get off to those good starts, which is something they've corrected as of late. But look at, once again, Montrezl Harrell off of the bench, 22 points in 27 minutes. And then, of course, there's Lou Williams, who's still a part of this team. He provided 24 points off the bench, including 4 of 5 from three-point range. Once again, the Clippers shot 50% from the field, 42%, 12 of 28 from three-point range. They also got to the line 23 times, knocking down 19 of them at 82% there. The rebounding success wouldn't carry over for the Kings. They were out-rebounded 50-43, including 14 offensive rebounds for the Clippers. We know how much second chance points have abused the Kings in the past. De'Aaron Fox led the way in scoring for the Kings with 19 points on 8 of 15 shooting. Kings did hit 10 three-pointers, took 30 though, just 33% from behind the three-point arc. 0 of 2 against the Clippers. Then game 3, and this was the ugliest out of the 3. Clippers beat the Kings 122-108 in Los Angeles. Once again, get off to a great start offensively, outscore the Kings 34-21 in the first quarter. Guess who? Montrezl Harrell, 25 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was everywhere on the glass, in the paint. Kings had no answer for him in 29 minutes off the bench. Good news is they contained Lou Williams to just 12 points, although he was plus 16. Why? Because he shared the floor with Montrezl Harrell. He shot horrible. He was 2 of 16 from the field, 1 of 7 from three-point range. So the fact that their best shooter and best scorer, other than Tobias Harris at the time, in Lou Williams, had a cold shooting night and the Kings still lost by double digits is not very encouraging for this Kings team. Now, Tobias Harris did also have 18 points in that game. Gilgeous Alexander, 17 points, got to the line 7 times, cashed in all 7 times. Clippers shot below 50%, which is good, 47%, 37% from three-point range, 11 of 29. But the Kings were dreadful from deep, 8 of 36 for 22%. They only shot 39% from the field for the entire game. De'Aaron Fox led the way in scoring with 21. Buddy Hield had a very quiet 16 points on 17 shots, and the Kings got little to no production other than Bogdan Bogdanovic and Marvin Bagley off of the bench. 0 of 3 against the Clippers to this point. But very different Clippers team tonight than from those three teams that they have faced. No Avery Bradley, which helps out Buddy Hield a lot. Avery Bradley played fantastic defense against Buddy Hield for all three of the meetings so far this season. Look for big stuff from Buddy Hield and get himself going here tonight. De'Aaron Fox against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's gone back and forth. Fox has led the team in scoring for 2 out of the 3 meetings against the Clippers so far this season. But I'm looking for Fox to step up in a major way and show the rookie why he's not there yet and why De'Aaron Fox is the better player in his second year. It all comes down, though, to how you handle Montrezl Harrell. And that leads us to 3 keys to a Kings win here tonight. First one is containing Montrezl Harrell. He either starts or comes off the bench. He has been starting recently for the Clippers, and he is an absolute beast for them. You got to keep him off the glass, got to keep him out of the paint, and that job rests on the shoulders of Willie Cauley-Stein. Now that Marvin Bagley is hurt, Willie Cauley-Stein is probably going to be getting some big minutes, and you need consistent and engaged Willie Cauley-Stein for the remainder of this season, especially for these 6 or so games that Marvin Bagley is not going to be playing if you want a chance to make the playoffs. If Willie Cauley-Stein wants to get paid, whether it's by the Kings or by any other team in the NBA, and get the paycheck and get the money that he is after, He has to deliver. He has to show up in a major way with this team being in a playoff race. He can't lose focus. If I'm him, I'm taking the three dominating performances by Montrezl Harrell over the Kings. I'm taking that extremely personally. I would like to see him do everything he can to shut Montrezl Harrell down tonight. If he does that, the Kings are winning this game. Key number two, take care of the basketball. The Kings have struggled as of late with turnovers and really shooting themselves in the foot, especially in opportunities where they've had a chance to win the game or score a big bucket and take a comfortable lead. You can't do that against the Clippers here tonight in this massive game. We know how big it is to the Kings. We know how exciting it is for Kings fans. Believe me, the Clippers are coming in knowing they have a great opportunity to remove the Kings from the picture once and for all here tonight, and they know they're going to be playing in front of a raucous crowd here in Sacramento, so they're going to be just as ready to go as the Kings will be tonight. Finally, bench unit. Now that Marvin Bagley is not coming off the bench, who is going to be scoring in this second unit, especially if Bogdan Bogdanović is starting at the three? I expect Jaeger will keep that starting lineup with Fox, Hield, Bogey, Harrison Barnes, and Willie Cauley-Stein. But that leaves the massive question mark of who's going to be scoring off the bench. Of course, you can stagger your rotations so that you have some combination of Fox, Buddy, and Bogey on the floor at all times. But the bench unit, Yogi Ferrell in particular, I'm really looking at them to step up, provide a lot of important, crucial minutes, and scoring off of the bench. Keep the pace up for all 48 minutes and make sure you are scoring in bunches in every opportunity you can. Those are my three keys to a Kings win here tonight. Let me know if you agree right now at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter or email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Today on KHDK's morning show, The Drive, head coach Dave Jaeger made an appearance and had a great interview with Carmichael Dave and Kyle Madsen. KHDK, nice enough to allow me to use some of the sound from this interview today on the Locked On Kings podcast. I have 7 clips for you from this interview. You can listen to the full interview right now on khdk.com, and I highly encourage you to do so. You can also download the KHDK app, whether you have an Android, an iPhone, does not matter. The KHDK app is available there for you, and you can listen to the whole interview. I'm just cutting out 7 parts of it. There are a lot more, or there was a lot more, that you can listen to and that you can hear. But good, well-rounded interview. Dave Jaeger touched on a lot of different topics, and we're going to go through the 7 that I picked up right now. And we start with Jaeger being asked about the interaction and quote-unquote altercation that he had with Buddy Hield during the Golden State Warriors game. Now, we've heard Jaeger defend himself, or not really defend himself, but discuss this and address this and dismiss this enough. So he was asked in a different way how he handled it. I liked Dave Jaeger's response to this. Why don't you take a listen?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can't always coach off camera, and I was a little animated, and with Steph Curry sitting at the foul line in a close game, probably would have been better to have done that in a different camera view, hopefully at the other end of the court or something. But we get along great. Our chemistry is terrific on our team, and our guys care about each other, and you can tell by the way that they play that we all care about each other, and we're trying to do the best we can and help each other continue to grow. And it's just one of those things.
The Sacramento Kings hired head coach Dave Jaeger specifically for player development, and that is something that he has cashed in on over the last 3 seasons. We're really seeing the rewards of that hard work this year, and the Kings are now in a playoff race because of it. Jaeger was asked how he balances teaching the kids and continuing their development, but trying to make the playoffs and win right now.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for our guys. Every year you can say, well, this is how it's going to be. There's these 11 teams, they're going to be in the race. And, well, things happen. And, you look at a New Orleans team that was in the second round last year, a Minnesota team that was in the playoffs, and both of them have had some things happen through the course of injuries and different things through a team's journey of an NBA season. And so, and then what about those Kings? I mean, people are watching us across the country. People are staying up late. I get texts from people on the East Coast, the Midwest. They're taking naps in the afternoon so they can watch us play and stay up later in their time zone. And it's a really neat deal for our guys to experience this, and I want them to enjoy it. They're all competitive. And in a competitive situation, I think you learn the most. These guys are ultra talented and ultra competitive, and that's what pushes you to get the maximum out of your talent. And so we're learning a lot. We're competing a lot. I can't think of a better situation for us to be in.
Yeager's rotations are a mystery to many, myself included, and typically he doesn't like to answer questions on his rotation. He steers away from that. He plays his cards close to his chest. Now, I have a lot more trust in Yeager than some fans do. However, you've heard me criticize his rotations from time to time. Earlier this week, I criticized the fact that Buddy Hield was not playing, was not on the floor at the end of the Minnesota Timberwolves game. So you know that I can get a little up in arms about Yeager, but he has a very specific rotation in mind and an idea and a reason for why he plays his players in the certain minutes that he does. And he explained a little bit of that, a little bit of his philosophy behind rotating players and giving them opportune minutes, but keeping them fresh for a whole season.
It's changed. It's been in flux throughout the course of the year with, you know, injuries. And also, you know, as you look at how much Marvin Bagley has grown throughout the course of the season, and he was out for a stretch. But he continues to grow and leave his mark on each game that he plays. And so how do you put him in a position to be the most successful for himself, but also, and more importantly, for our team? And so he's taken on a bigger role as the course of the season has gone on. I'm also very sensitive, Dave, to we do have younger bodies. And so I want us to be there at the end. I want us to be able to get through a full 82 season still standing on our feet, each individual guy. And so I'm very sensitive to making sure De'Aaron is fresh the last 6-7 minutes of the game, because we've seen what he can do when he extends his defense, pressures the basketball, gets defensive rebounds or tip outs, and maybe, and you know, it's 3-second score at the other end, putting pressure on the defense and those kinds of things. You know, we play teams that are playing guys 38 and 40 minutes a night, and those guys are 28, 29, 30 years old, and they've been through multiple seasons and multiple playoff runs, and they're able to do that. We're growing into that, and I think you're going to see, you know, starting to play him longer into the first quarter because I feel like we're not finishing our first quarters very well. We know it gets him a little exhausted, but I'm cranking De'Aaron's minutes up a little bit as we head towards the finish line.
Recently, the Kings have played the top three teams in the NBA in the Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets, and Milwaukee Bucks, and they've lost to those three teams by a combined 5 points. There's no such thing really as a moral victory. It sucks to lose, but the fact that the Kings are competitive against these top teams is certainly a good sign. Dave Yeager discussed that.
You know, we're playing really at a high level in all those games, and like I said, we had a little stinker there in Minnesota, but that's to be expected sometimes with a young team. They can't hold on mentally every single minute all the time. And you say as a pro, like, how does that happen if you're a fan? Well, it just does with younger teams. And you've seen other teams' players comment on it, great players around the league. Durant had some interesting comments about it after the game. And in the four times that we've played them, it's really come down to experience and a couple of plays throughout the course of the game. And you know, certainly they've got big-time go-to guys that just plop it in their hands and go make a play. And we're still growing. And Steph Curry said the same thing. So it's good experience to go through. It's not enjoyable. I do not like losing close games. I think that's where your team foundation of belief and confidence are built. And we've certainly won our share. And, you know, last couple games, there's not been a game that it's been tit for tat a lot at the end. It seems like we are playing from behind to close gaps at the end of games. But, you know, we've been right there. And when you're playing from behind, each play is amplified even more, and each mistake is amplified even more. And there's not a lot of margin for error.
With how well Marvin Bagley has been playing, it hurts that he is down with an injury and that the Kings will be without him for at least the next 6 games, or expected over the next 6 games. He has some big shoes to fill, but it's a next man up mentality, especially in a playoff race. Head coach Dave Yeager talked about making up for his production.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what he's been able to do and score the basketball around the basket, get extra possessions with offensive rebounds. You know, he's learning. He's getting more experience, and he's learning defensively how fast the game goes. And you know, you're talking about a guy who is very talented, but they played 2-3 zone last year, you know, and I don't know how much emphasis there is in high school on defending. And the league is getting smaller, so you're seeing him having to guard on the perimeter, not just the ball, but helping in different situations and then close back out to people. And he's gotten better at it, and he'll continue to grow. And it's going to be the next man up mindset. And some nights we're playing small, and some nights, we got to do whatever we got to do to find a way to win.
Kings had an opportunity to defeat the Milwaukee Bucks. They had possession with 11 seconds left, held for the last shot. The ball was in De'Aaron Fox's hands going up against Eric Bledsoe, and the Kings could not get a shot off. Jaeger explains what the idea was for that set and why things didn't work out.
We just tried to get it to him in a position where he could see everybody and had the floor in front of him. We wanted to get the last shot. They also had a foul to give, and sometimes that can confuse a player. You know, we try to go a little bit early in case that they did take the foul and you're not stuck with, 0.8 seconds left and then what the heck. So he tried to make a play, and I think, he's a good guy to put the ball in his hands. And, each night it can be that there's a last second play. It can be, well, how come he didn't go to Bogey? He's one. How come he didn't hit Buddy? He's one. How come he didn't go to De'Aaron? He had, jeepers. You're trying to put the ball in the guy's hand and put it in a position to be successful in spots on the floor. And then certainly there's a time aspect. There's the aspect of who has it going a little bit, and what the matchups look like and different actions that you're trying to get to. And I think it's been successful for us putting him there, and he's won games there, and I think it's a great experience for him as well.
And finally, Coach Jaeger was asked about how much fun he is having this season being the coach of the Sacramento Kings, and how great the fan base is, how much energy they provide for these Kings players when they're at home.
Yeah, I think we've had a group that's always been fun to go to the gym and coach, but to see them have some success, and certainly the energy in the building is just terrific. We love playing at home. We feed off the crowd. We love living in the community and being out and running around town. And I think our players appreciate that. And so, yeah, we're all having a good time.
Again, I encourage you to go and check out the full interview right now on KHDK.com or the KHDK app, as head coach Dave Jaeger was with Carmichael Dave and Kyle Madsen on The Drive this morning. You can catch The Drive every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on KHDK. That's AM 1140 on your radio dial if you're local. Or again, download the app. You can listen to all the shows there streamed online, or you can just catch them at any time on KHDK.com. I am staring at my clock, counting down the seconds, minutes, and hours until I get to head over to the Golden 1 Center to get ready for Kings and Clippers tonight. If you are heading out to the game, let me know. I would love to see you. Shake your hand and say hi. You can reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. If you're going to be there and you want to meet up, even for just a couple of minutes before the game, during halftime, after the game, I would love to see you. And thank you in person for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. If you're not going to be at the game, though, and you want to still interact with me while the game is happening, Twitter is the best place to do that. But you can email at any time as well. Also, remember, we have a call-in voicemail box for this very podcast where you can call in, share your takes, your opinions, your thoughts after a game, before a game. It doesn't matter. I listen to those, and I even select some as they come in to be played here on the podcast. I'm looking for a lot of great reactions, win or lose, after this game tonight, and you can call in at any time, 909-566-0232. If I get a lot of calls, I'm sure I'll be featuring a lot of them on Monday's podcast, as we'll discuss everything that goes down in this game. Also, the Fans Only episode is happening later on this month. I have just about every slot filled, but still a couple of openings. If you want to be a part of it, let me know. The Fans Only podcast is when I invite you, the fan, to come onto this podcast. I interview you, ask you to share your story of how you became a Kings fan, and we get your takes on everything that is happening with the Sacramento Kings. So if you want to be a part of that, just let me know, and I will get you on the list. That'll do it for today's podcast. So excited for the game tonight. I hope you are as well. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. We will be back on Monday for more Locked On Kings. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.